Blistering insight, well-researched fact, insightful comment. I'm afraid you've come to the wrong place. But welcome, because this is none other than the world-famous Leicester City Pubcast. Hello everyone, welcome to the Leicester City Pubcast, home of the 2016 Premier League champions and 2021 FA Cup winners. And for the last time in this little run that we've had, just a table for two for myself and Killer. Norm will be back next week with us, having enjoyed a well-earned holiday. Killer, are you okay?
Yeah, I am. And can I just say that I'm feeling tired, because obviously I'm effectively holding up this unfortunate trio. If it wasn't for me, there'd be no such show. So thank you for all the fan mail, listeners. It's very much appreciated.
And and helping you hold yourself up, Killer, is a Trump Wales, of course, in front of you. But again, I noticed more port scratchings.
Yes. It's a new feature, Tim, for the season. Now we're being sponsored by Trump Wales pork rind that we're sure we'll carry it. They prefer calling them rind to scratchings. Apparently, it's a little bit more woke.
I was going to say, is it more? What's next? So old-fashioned pub food, scotch eggs, pickled onions. I mean, honestly, this show's going
pickled
to the dog.
Pickled egg.
Do you remember the pickled egg? That's worse than pickled onions. Absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
I'm just going out on the pool. Just what I need is a pickled egg.
Pickled egg just to brew downstairs with 8 pints of bitter.
Living the healthy life that we do. So let's get back to the football. Inevitably, Killer, we won by one goal with a late goal. I mean, it just seems to me we're clearly going to get 138 points and finish with a goal difference of plus 46, aren't we?
Yeah, can't really tell, can you? I mean, it's... it's predictable. It's brilliantly predictable. The other thing that seems to be predictable is there doesn't ever seem to be a standout player for these games. We're going to teams, obviously, we've mentioned before, been slightly fortuitous with the fixtures. So I think there's bigger, better, uglier tests to come. But right here, right now, it's quite an incredible time to be a Leicester City supporter. I mean, you know, four league wins, five wins on the bounce in all. And it is going incredibly well, Timothy.
How convinced are you on a scale of 1 to 10 by us?
Good question. Yeah, really, really good question. At this stage, I would say 6 out of 10. And the reason for that is... several reasons, really. One, I think there's a number of players that we're not really getting a tune out of. I think in the sort of the down column is we don't exactly know who's going to be leaving, who's going to be coming in. I'm not entirely sure we've got the balance completely right in terms of the team. But obviously, the argument is, well, if you're playing not to your full ability and you're winning, then that needs that can only bode well. What are your views? And what's your score?
I've got a little niggle, and it isn't a pickled egg that's gone down the wrong way. I'm just not quite convinced somehow. It's you know, when they equalise, I'm just thinking, oh, is this the week? I'm waiting for the week when we don't win, and it is ridiculous. And I mean, anyone can email us, and do email us, guys, at leicestercitypubcast@gmail.com. We keep your email, and sure, so get in touch. It's always the better when you do. But people will email in and say, as you've already said, it's the best start to the season. It was
last week anyway, so now
we've just added to that. Sooner or later, we're not going to win. I kind of want September to come along, Killer, because I want us to be tested a bit. I see, you know, you mentioned Norwich last week. They went and won 4-0, didn't they? You know, it feels in the table there's some big guns, as big as they come in the Championship, lurking around us. As Ipswich found out last week, it doesn't take long to have a sort of a mini plummet. They fell down to 6, didn't they, with one defeat. So, I mean, brilliant, brilliant start. There's four teams on 10 points, some fairly big hitters in amongst them. But it's just honestly one of the strangest times I can remember to be a Leicester City fan.
Yeah, there is that. I just want to quickly talk about the game, actually, because it's one of these games, isn't it? They scored after 5 minutes, and it was one of these where the goal goes in. As far as you can tell, it's a goal. There's no VAR in Championship football. It's a goal. And I know there's a lot of Rotherham fans have taken to social media and said that goal was only wiped out because it was Leicester City. They're the biggest team in the Championship by a mile, arguably the biggest team that have ever been in the Championship in terms of squad and resources. If it was anybody else, that goal stands. And I have some sympathy for that, because certainly at the time you watched it and you thought, well, that's a perfectly good goal.
Yeah.
And you're not expecting, are you, a referee to then almost look at the amount of fuss Leicester City players are making and then go over to a linesman who clearly hadn't necessarily seen it, had a little chat, and you can almost imagine the referee's gone, well, hang on a minute, this is Leicester City here. Why are the players making such a fuss? And him going, I don't know. Yeah, probably was handball, wasn't it? It felt a little bit like that, Tim. You just don't see that in the Championship. Again, you think to yourself, when the football gods are smiling down on you, maybe you do get that bit of luck. A couple of other points I want to make about the game as well. Obviously, great for young Casey McAteer to get off the mark and then grab himself a second. The second was absolutely class, as was the reaction from Leicester City fans who clearly had a fantastic afternoon out. So that was good. Not quite so clever was their goal. And I'm just trying to wonder why a man mounting like Jan Vestergaard literally stands there when just allows the ball to drop over his head, knowing full well that, I mean, they were a big, beefy team. But there was probably a guy popping in behind him and young Doyle, and guess what happened? Be interesting to know why he did that. Be even more interesting to know why he did that, given the fact that Connor Cody must now literally be weeks away from returning. And it was kind of just felt like, yes, we were the better team over 90 minutes. Yes, we've scored a very good goal. I think, once again, we've definitely edged it in terms of chances. We've certainly edged it in terms of possession. But again, it's one of these. If you start going round the team, Tim, you're probably handing out lots of fives and sixes. I thought Wilf was poor. I thought KDH dipped in and out the game, didn't do loads. Winks was steady without being spectacular. I think Mavididi looked okay to me. It's like you say, it's odd. And yet we're winning every single match that we play.
Yeah. Yeah, just on the 2 points you made about their goal, I totally agree on both points. I mean, I didn't see, even now, a lot wrong with it. And then, as you say, that you don't see in the champ. And one of the great things is we're loving this lack of VAR, aren't we?
Yeah, exactly.
I heard some idiot on the radio today saying about having VAR for all sports because of the, you know, the boxing situation with Usyk and Dubois at the weekend. I'm thinking, yeah, great. Something that no fan likes. Let's put it into all sports and ruin all other sports. We've got to enjoy it. But it was lovely to be on the right end of it. But I did feel for Rotherham. You know, that would have been their dream start against us. Yeah, I thought they did okay. And I agree with you. I think we're the better side. And maybe we're asking too much to be dominating and winning 3-4-0 every single game. It would just be nice to do that. Have you seen the Burnley documentary, by the way?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a couple of things came out of that for me. If listeners haven't seen it, it's on Sky. I think I'm right in saying that one, isn't it?
Sky, yeah.
Really good. It's really, really good. They had one win after 9 games, didn't they? So was it even 10 games? So they really had a very, very slow start and then went on to win the league by absolutely miles. So I suppose there's a couple of things in that in terms of Leicester City. One, we've taken a manager out of Pep's stable the same way they had. Now, Vincent Kompany in that show says he needed 100 to 120 training sessions to get them into a position where they fully understood the system that he wanted to play based on his Man City experience. And I mean, if that's the same with us, then we won't have had that many sessions yet. So I kind of think it's fantastic that we're winning. They weren't winning. The flip side of that is that, you know, as the show shows and the listeners will already know that, you know, they then went on to win pretty much every week, didn't they? Very, very easily.
So the other
thing was, you know, are we going to hit those heights? But equally, as a little reminder, so it took the mickey out of Leeds last week, and then sure enough, they go win away at Ipswich. And you just think, there could be teams down the bottom after a quarter of the season that could still run away with the league, believe it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, just a side on that, I mean, it's a really impressive documentary. I think Vincent Kompany comes across very, very well. And I love the fact that he made this bold prediction that my ideas will get instilled, it will work, and guess what, it did. Obviously, it remains to be seen whether or not those ideas are going to stand up in the Premier League. But I think we all know the Premier League is such a huge challenge. I don't think anybody would hold that against him if it didn't. But yeah, you're quite right, Tim. And you look at the whole point about Enzo. I think, and we were talking about this right at the beginning on show one, where we were almost playing the let's be patient card. If this guy is going to be successful, we're going to have to give him time. Well, it doesn't appear we have got to give him time, in so much as there's no doubt. I think if you got Enzo Maresca on this show, and obviously he's desperate to come on, if he came on this show, I have no doubt that he would be honest enough to say it's not quite clicking, it's not quite flowing as I see it, but we're obviously becoming very, very difficult to beat. So he must go home at night with a big smile on his face, thinking, wow, imagine how good this lot are going to be once the Vincent Kompany penny drops.
Yeah, he said, hasn't he, that six players who wanted to leave have now said they don't. And I wondered whether he was using a bit of artistic license. As you say, he's become a nuisance, hasn't he, bugging us to get on this show. Can't get him off the phone, can you?
He's an absolute
pain in the backside.
And apparently loves Port Rind, and that's been a really deciding factor.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. We'll get time to get on with his day job for the moment. But I don't know. It's all a little bit odd. But I think, you know, the fact that we're banking these points, anyone glancing at us, I've got a couple of Premier League supporting mates, they're like, oh, you lot are flying, aren't you? And that's what it looks like, doesn't it? If you're not in the heart of it, maybe we just need to accept that and get on with it. You mentioned some of the players already. This is the last show before the transfer window slams shut, as they like to over-egg it on Sky. You see another egg joke there, Killer? Did you get it?
Brilliant.
The eggs are dropping.
Do you just keep the yolks coming, Tim?
Oh, beautiful. Right, let's go through some of the players that we think may be leaving. And I want to talk about one incoming. We've signed another winger.
Yeah.
We seem to be obsessed with trying to sign wingers. So this guy...
Yeah, not an obvious pick, is it, really?
Yunus Akgun from Galatasaray. I don't think we know anything about him, really, do we?
No, I mean, obviously, I've opened my personal football dossier and it's completely blank about young Yunus. It seems a bit odd, doesn't it, with wingers? We seem to now have four or five people that can play out wide and we've bought somebody else when actually I think there's other positions such as centre-back, such as central midfield that I think would require a bit of reinforcement. Even a striker would be quite nice. But, yeah, new guy in from Galatasaray. You know, it's one of those, I suppose, because we've got wingers, because we've got players playing reasonably well out wide, that I suppose it's low risk. Let's wait and see what happens to Yunus. I mean, let's be honest, we might have said something very similar about a certain Riyad Mahrez when he got signed, with us all going, well, who's this bloke? You know what I mean? Oh, here we go.
Yeah,
we've 5 million quid later and a league championship medal and PFA footballer of the year, and obviously we're having a slightly different view on it.
Yeah, although we've signed one or two that weren't quite Riyad Mahrez as well. We talked about it last week, don't we? I'm always nervous when we sign a winger. I think it's hard work.
On loan, isn't he? He's on loan. So the good news is, you know, if he doesn't fit, it's like a bad pair of shoes, mate. We'll pop him back in the post and get the Amazon driver to come and pick him up.
It wouldn't be the first time that driver's picked up one of our.
No, wingers. He's been busy.
So you've mentioned it. All right, let's do the potential incoming that I wanted to talk about before we talk about a possible outgoing striker, right? Kelly, I know you and Norm have been. you know, I'm going to tread on eggshells a bit here because Norm's not here. There's another one. Chalk it up.
Yeah, I like it. And you never actually genuinely do anything other than be horrible.
No, but I'm just saying that you and Norm, not just Norm, I've been saying, yeah, Kelechi, all great for the championship. Yeah. So I've not been quite convinced by that. And he's not yet tearing the championship up. It's very, very early days. He may well do so. Here's a scenario, Killer. Kelechi Iheanacho gets injured this week. He does some sort of ligaments. He's out for a few months. Vardy, great. I love Vardy. I don't mind the role that he's doing at the moment, coming on for a decent amount of minutes as a sub, as I think he's done, I think, pretty much every game so far. So I think that's fine at his age. He might want to be starting. Who knows? Kelechi has been nominated as the main striker. Dak has not had a look in. Again, I think I'm right. Dak has not had a single minute, has he?
No.
So, and we'll come and talk about him as a possible out anyway. And I think if Dakar goes out, I'm sure we're going to get a striker. Let's do a scenario where Dakar doesn't go out. Kelechi's just done his ligaments. We are in absolutely deep mess, aren't we?
You'd have thought so. I mean, well, I think it's relevant now to talk about the Dakar issue, isn't it? Because obviously we've got 4 days left of the transfer window, whatever it is. We are talking about a guy. I can't remember the last time he kicked a ball for Leicester City. I can't remember the last time he looked any good. He's still being linked with Premier League clubs, notably at the moment, Bournemouth. I don't think it's going to happen, Tim. I hope it does. I think if somebody gave me £100 and said yes or no, 50-50 shot, I'd probably go, no, I don't think it is. So here's a question for you. If when the transfer window closes, Dakar is still at your football club, do you then turn around to him and say, here's your chance, get yourself fit, get yourself back playing? What do you do with him?
Yeah, well, I said last week, I think the players that we've got here that you have to reintegrate, don't you? Because, and I think that there'd be a level of inherent motivation. The issue that I have, I just don't think he'd be good enough. I just don't think he'd be good enough. And I think, you know, I've thought this for a long, for 3 summers, I think we've been a striker light at this football club. I think it would have saved us last year. I think one more striker would have saved it. You know, even someone, Chris Wood, someone like, I hate to say it, given where he's playing, someone like Che Adams, you know, that sort of very, very low level, Neil Mopay, very, very, very low level Premier League striker. I think any of them.
Sounding really good until you mentioned a guy that scored one goal in about 42 games.
He's probably still he's still the best striker Everton have got.
By a mile.
We've got Damari Gray there masquerading as something or other. But I don't understand why we haven't signed a striker. And I think it, particularly 46 game season plus League Cup plus FA Cup, I just think we're taking an unbelievable risk. And yet we seem to have boatloads of wingers arriving at the club every week instead of strikers. I just don't get it.
I can only assume, Tim, it comes down to balance sheet. And it comes down to the wariness of if Dakar doesn't go. Because I suppose if you look at it in terms of the balance sheet, at the minute, Leicester City apparently are holding on for 20, 25 million for Dakar. Unthinkable money, I think. But nevertheless, that is what's been touted out. So as far as Leicester City are concerned, let's call it 20. Let's take a £60,000-£70,000 a week player off your wage bill. From a financial point of view, you're obviously quids in, aren't you? The flip side is he stays. The flip side is he stays, and therefore you don't get any of that money. And then you've got the burden of another striker. And let's be honest, any of those ones that you've mentioned would, for instance, I mean, like, you know, it's not going to happen. I mean, these players aren't going to drop down a level. But you know, if they do come in, they're going to want £50,000-£70,000. They're going to want a signing on fee. I just don't think, I think the club are cash strapped. I just don't think they can do that. I think as far as Leicester City are concerned, pretty much all of their business that they're going to do from this point forward is either going to be literally just bargain hunting, or it's, well, Castagna's got to go, Dakar's got to go, Samari's got to go, and then we may have freed up some reserves. Otherwise, you just can't see it. I think it is going to be guys coming into the club that you will go, a bit like young Yunus Akgun, that we're going to go to ourselves, yeah, great. Who is he?
I wouldn't even mind that if it was a striker, though. If you got a striker on loan from Galatasaray instead of a winger. Tell you, the disappointing one for me, and I won't pretend I know anything about him, because there's a couple of guys I'd seen in the summer that I thought would be really, really sensible. I mentioned the Man U loanee at Sunderland. He got injured. But the one the player that we were most linked with at the start of the summer was Joel Pirro from Swansea.
Yeah. Yeah,
and disappointingly then went to Leeds and scored on his debut, didn't he? But I think, you know, it was that sort of proven championship striker I thought we might need. I suppose we'll come back to the start of the show. You said something, you know, literally pretty much in the intro, saying, you know, the goals keep coming from different places, though, don't they? Maybe the system, maybe Enzo's not too bothered and not banging the door down to get a striker in, because in this style of system, if you know, potentially imagine Man City pre-Haaland, you know, they do get, you know, the Gundogans, the Rodris, the players that are not necessarily offensive strikers chipping in left, right and centre. And maybe that's what we're going to do. Brilliant for Casey McAteer at the weekend. But I don't know how many Leicester players have scored this season, but it's quite a few, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. You're quite right about Kelechi. You know, he's one of these where, I mean, fabulous bit of skill for the first goal, but he's not consistently doing it at the minute. But then again, you know, it's a bit like when KDH scored two goals against Coventry. I thought to myself, there's a long time until the end of the transfer window here. He carries on, not scoring two goals every game, he's not going to do that. But if he carries on at this level of performance, somebody's going to come in for him, simply because I think there's so many ailing Premier League clubs, and he might very well be in their budget, that I thought to myself, somebody might be interested. I think the thing is, if you were a Premier League scout now reporting back to your technical director or the manager, you're going to look at those Leicester City players and you're going to go, I would literally leave them. Because the ones worth buying in terms of the names, I mean, you think Wilf Ndidi, he's been poor. He's poor again on Saturday. KDH has been massively erratic.
Well, hold on then, Killer. Let's come on, because I wanted to have a look at some of these players individually and just get a reaction from you, as in whether you think they might go to where they've been linked with it, and what, you know, and a price, and whether you'd be happy or not. You know, take any of those sort of answers. So you've mentioned Ndidi, right?
Yep.
So slightly surprisingly for me, he was selected ahead of Cassidy again.
Yeah.
So I got it the first time. Cassidy comes on and scores. Brilliant last minute goal. Clearly an offensive midfielder. By the way, got the golden ball and the golden boot at the under 20s World Cup. So, you know, he's got a bit of pedigree there. And I think you said last week he's not going to be a mug as he came in from Chelsea. There you go. There's the attacking midfielder that Wilf's been filling in for. Nope. Wilf plays again. Now, today, I've seen him quite strongly linked with Notts Forest. Mm. Well, how would you feel about that one, and how much should we ask for him?
I would take 10 and I'd open the door for him and probably drop him up the M1. I just think he's a spent force for Leicester, Tim. I thought he was rubbish last season. He's somebody that I rated enormously 2 or 3 years ago. I think he's injury by injury got worse and worse. I don't like this position that he's playing in. I haven't seen him have a good game. He has scored one goal in the Carabao Cup. Big deal. As far as I'm concerned, time's up. Somebody wants to give us 10 million quid for him. Again, another player who's going to be on a hefty wage. Adios, amigo. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I charge them 15 million just because it's them. But other than that, I agree with you.
Yeah, 5 million NFT, not Forest tax.
Yeah, exactly. Two fullbacks that are pretty much done deals by the looks of it. Christensen, that deal to Bologna looks pretty much done. So he's gone on loan with an option to buy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so I think that's an odd one, isn't it? I actually thought he was okay.
Yeah,
I did think he was okay. But, you know, again, didn't we say last week what we like about Enzo is Enzo has a style of footballer. And you, if you are not that footballer, you're not coming to his party.
Yeah.
And again, you get the feeling that Christensen's in the same boat as Suter. And, you know, we'll talk about him in a second. Little bit surprised. I personally wouldn't have offloaded him. But in Enzo, we trust.
Yeah, and at least with him, we're going to get the we're going to get the fee back that we paid for him by the looks of it if he does then go permanently. I suppose the worry is he doesn't do well and then he's back here next summer. But it's an odd one, but I'm with you. I like his leadership, and if a player doesn't fit, he doesn't fit. He didn't set the world alight. I wasn't quite sure about him. Thought he was better than Luke Thomas, though. Yes. So that's slightly odd. Castagna's the other one. It looks like something around... So the question I've got for you on the Castagna one to Fulham, which pretty much looks like a done deal. Yeah. And the way that Sky talked about it today... that's a done deal to provide cover at both fullback positions. I mean, if that phraseology is right, that's a hell of a fall from grace. Something around 12 million as well. Really disappointing.
Yeah, I think that does feel a bit short by about 8 million. But again, I think as a football club, you're looking to offload in a position where we've got plenty of cover. I've noticed, but as well, by the way, that Luke Thomas has, according to Sky, been linked heavily with Leeds United now. So it'd be very interesting to see how that one plays. Again, you look at Luke Thomas and wonder whether or not he's an Enzo player as well, don't you?
Well, I assume he isn't, given that he's had no time, really.
Yeah.
I mean, what would we get for him if he went to Leeds?
Well, they're talking about a loan.
Would you loan him to Leeds? Well, be careful with that, haven't you? They're presumably still direct rivals.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Yeah, okay. So if we work on the basis that we're going to sell him, what would you say is a reasonable amount?
Well, I mean, if Castagna's only 12 million and Wilf's only 10, I mean, it's 5 million.
But I think we've shown at the minute in this transfer market, but your transfer fees not necessarily correlates to your quality, does it? I think your transfer fee goes a lot towards how long you got left on the contract, what your contract's worth, because clubs are just looking to offload, aren't they? So interesting with Luke Thomas. 10 for me for Thomas.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I mean, I think the problem we're going to have, which we touched on last week, is that, none of these players have gone yet. It does look like those two fullbacks we mentioned, that's pretty much done. But the others, the Kelechis, potentially, slightly worryingly, we'll come on to him in a minute, the Wilfs, the Dakers, I think prospective buyers are sitting on it until deadline day. Saying Leicester are going to be desperate at that point. They probably do need a striker. A couple of players Enzo's mentioned. And if not, they need to get players off the wage bill. I think we could be on the end of some absolutely horrible offers on deadline day. I really do.
Yeah, I think you're right. And actually, if you think about the clubs that are going to go in with those bucket shot offers, I mean, the fascinating thing about the Premier League is generally in the Premier League, you get a couple of teams that you fancy are going to struggle, start pretty well, don't you? Not this season. No. They literally, it's the naught point gang, you know what I mean? And the stacks of them, and it's all your usual suspects. Now, the interesting thing is none of them obviously have got two apnies to rub together. They're all going to be looking for loans. They're all going to be looking to turn around and maybe say, we'll take the player off you, but we might have to return him at the end of the season when we inevitably go down. But all of them, Luton, Sheffield United, Everton, obviously. I mean, that's just going to be hilarious with their new stadium. We'll perhaps have a laugh about that another time. Everton, Wolves look like they're in a hell of a mess, don't they? Burnley at this stage, difficult to tell, really. They've had two difficult home games. They could have really done with the away game at Luton, which got cancelled. But again, they're going to be in there from a budgetary point of view. And that came across loud and clear, didn't it, on the documentary, that those Yanks have literally haven't got two apnies to rub together as well. So you've got a whole plethora of clubs down there with no money. And yeah, you're quite right, mate. I think they're all going to be sort of ringing up with really ridiculous offers. And the Leicester City phone is going to be hot. But again, I just wonder, did we do ourselves any favours by leaving these players completely out in the cold, Tim?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because you put them in the team purely to put them in the shop window. I mean, I think, the Dakers, the Ndidis, everyone knows who they are. And then you are compromising your principles as Maresca, and he's going to turn around and go, I've got every single point that was available. Those could be pretty handy at the end of the season, guys. So I think he'd probably stick two fingers up to that idea.
Southampton played Ward-Prowse, didn't they, first game of the season?
Yeah, they did. Oh, that's another sickener for me, by the way.
No, just, you know what? Me and my mate were talking about that. What I don't understand about the Premier League is I don't understand how there are players that are going to be really good. It's almost like, no questions asked, this player's going to be good. Ward-Prowse is one of those players. And to think, we went all through the summer, not one club stuck their head up until West Ham almost reluctantly went, oh, better have him then, aren't we? Because we're just about to kick off and we haven't actually bought anybody in. And guess what he's doing? Really, Jarrod Bowen, by the way, and they've done pretty good at this West Ham. He was another one. When he signed for West Ham, I remember swapping messages with a mate of mine going, why are we missing out on these players? Guess what? He's done really well. I honestly don't get it at all, Tim.
No, I mean, there's been a few this summer that really, really... Funny enough, so I was chatting to a Spurs fan today and he's the first person... other than Leicester City fans, who said, flipping out, we've got a deal on this Maddison, haven't we? He's absolutely magic. And I thought, the penny's going to finally drop with the Premier League, that they have done that. And also, some of the players Bournemouth have signed, by the way, I'm not convinced by that manager yet, but, you know, Alex Scott, Tyler Adams they got from Leeds. So Alex Scott from Bristol City, who I really would have loved us to get. They also signed Max Ahrens, Norwich's fullback. Yeah. So, you know, for not much money at all, they've got three very, if we just stayed at three very Leicester City type players, you could have had Ward-Prowse in as the Maddison replacement. And then, as we've just said, you look at the Premier League this year. I mean, you walk into the top half with those four signings. We wouldn't even be in a relegation fight this year, I don't think, with a sensible, energised manager. But there we go. I don't want to revisit that too much. Until next week and the week after and the week after that. Let's get back to the potential outs. Here's one for you. Have you seen I know he's gone already. Did you see the Ryan Bertrand to Man United story?
No.
Yeah. So they're looking for cover at fullback, apparently. And they're seriously considering Ryan Bertrand. But we shouldn't be too surprised.
It could be Bertrand and Johnny Evans then. In the Manchester United back four.
I was going to say, who's doing the signing there? The same guy that signed Mason Mount.
Blimey. I tell you what, Man U, I'm obviously having... I mean, we forget they signed a Burnley reserve last season. Then you wonder what's going on at Man United, don't you?
So, Dak, just to finish these possible outs, I think there's only... Well, there's two or three others left. I had three left. Kelechi, right? I know I'm sort of not quite in yours and Norm's camp on Kelechi, but I am a fan of Kelechi. And I think... You know, the thought of losing him cheaply seems really, really silly. And I do worry a bit about that. You know, some of those teams that you've mentioned at the bottom of the Premier League, and I don't think he'd have the greatest aspirations in the world. You know, he might well say, fair enough, I'll do a season at Sheffield United. I'll do a season at Everton, maybe. Yeah. Do you think there's a bit of a risk around him?
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, he's the one guy that I would sensibly say no to. In terms of the players that I think we're going to get offers for. He's the one guy that I would go, no, he goes nowhere. As far as I'm concerned, he's a big, big part of our promotion push. We just need to understand what that promotion push means to us financially. So I would be saying no to him. There's plenty of Leicester City players that are playing at the minute. I just don't think we're going to get offers for. I don't think anybody would come in for KDH, Pereira. He's gone really, really on about fouls, you know. So I just don't think there's an issue with those. The one player that I think is getting game time at the minute that I do think is a risk, and the one player I would say no to is Kelechi. The one player who's getting game time that I would get rid of is Ndidi.
Yeah, totally agree on those two. Dakar, we've talked about. They're talking about over 20 million to Bournemouth. I would love to see him go, and I would. Doubly love to see him go at that price because I think that then guarantees us getting another striker in, and then you've got a new striker who's straight into the fold. Whereas, as you say, we'd have to reintegrate Dakar, but I can't see that happening. I think there might be a low ball bid, something like 5 or 10 million from Bournemouth, maybe on deadline day. The other place that had been linked with him was Monaco, but I think they're signing that guy who. Bizarre, what's he called? Balogun from Arsenal, who is apparently worth about 40 million that's never played for him, as far as I can see. Really odd.
Yeah.
So they've signed him. So I very much doubt they're going to want Dakar as well. So the only other noise I'd heard was Bournemouth.
But the interesting thing is, we've mentioned about all the teams in the Premier League and how poor it is. But to some extent now, I think if you're on the board of those teams, you go... Unless you're Sheffield United or Luton, you would turn around, even at Everton, for instance, I would say two of these teams are down. We've just got to make sure we don't finish third bottom. There's a lot riding for it. Maybe if we just do a bit of sensible business here, gets us, it pushes us on. We'll have to see. Otherwise, Samari, what's going to happen to him? Again, he's almost like a forgotten player at Leicester.
Samari's a good. Well, there are that we could do this like forever because the Suter, who we haven't really talked about, the Samari. There's also Dennis Pratt. I mean, what's going to happen with him? I mean, if he's not starting in the Championship, I can't imagine he's going to be too happy with that, is he? Samari. Well, I mean, I suspect his wages are going to be a problem, aren't they, Samari's?
Yeah, given the fact he's obviously the slowest player that the club's ever had since Lee Philpott. So, I mean, it's a difficult one. The 80 grand a week for him is just a really horrible pill to swallow, isn't it? I mean, who on earth in their right mind is going to play that? And by the way, just talking of which, we're just going to have a quick word about an ex-Leicester City player, Harry Maguire.
Mm.
What on earth is happening there? And we'll mention it because he's ex-Leicester. So obviously, you know, there's a dotted line into what's going on with the football club. But I don't know about you, Tim. I always had Harry Maguire down as a good guy.
Yeah.
I always thought to myself, it's not his fault he's slow. It's not his fault somebody paid 80 million quid for him. He did well down here. Didn't think he was brilliant second season. But nevertheless, good footballer. Good and comfortable with the ball. I think he'd work nicely in the system we play at the minute. And obviously, the fella's got a goal in him and has always done well for England. But it's not worked out for Manchester United. Please explain to me, with the Euros coming up, why he wouldn't be prepared to take some sort of wage cut to be playing in the Premier League, rather than, inverted commas, fighting for my place at Manchester United, which we all know will literally be Carabao Cup.
Yeah, you make a good point on the Euros. I mean, the West Ham, in the absence of us being in the Premier League, because ironically, I'd have taken him back. I'd have happily taken him back because he can bring the ball out. I think he's exactly what Maresca would want. And you know, us last season would have been about the right level, which is why the whole West Ham thing was there, wasn't it? West Ham seemed eminently sensible option. Maybe he's going to have a look at West Ham being top of the table and think they might not be a bad option after all.
It seems to me like it's like he's got his calculator out and gone, hang on a minute, I'm on £250,000 a week. They're offering me £100,000 a week less than that. Man United aren't prepared to breach. Why would I move? And I mean, all right, you can turn around in another world and say, why would anybody want to lose £80,000 or £100,000 a week? But I think if you ask me that question and I've got £20 million sat in the bank, I might be inclined to put my career before my bank account now. Would you?
They don't though, do they? I mean, these players going to Saudi. I mean, we haven't talked a lot about that on this show, but this old Saudi exodus. I mean, Salah's the latest one, and it really does seem there's some interest there, doesn't it? Because someone making.
Well, he's only being offered £1.2 million a week though.
Yeah, he'd have to cut back, wouldn't he? I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's hard. And by the way, that would be tax. Can you imagine that? By the way, tax. I mean, there's one thing saying 1.2 mil, but if you lose 40% on that, you can understand how a footballer might go, oh, that's a hell of a lot of tax. No, it's completely tax-free. 1.2 mil, and you walk away with 1.2 mil a week.
Yeah. You know what, though? I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show, but it wasn't for a long time if I have. That I did hear once someone explaining just how, and the example that they'd use was John Terry back in the day, about how you persuade someone that they need even more money.
Yeah.
Because to your point, like, you know, if I've earned the money that any of these guys have earned, all I want to go and do is play for Leicester City. That's what I want to do. That's what would make me happy. I've earned my fortune elsewhere. I had to go and do it. Forget everything, agent. The only team I want to play for is Leicester City because that's my life. That's been my life when I grew up. That would be my absolute dream, seeing my career there. But the way that they get these guys apparently to do it, the agents, is they sort of say, right, look, you've clearly made your fortune. Well done. You've also made your children's fortune. Well done. What you can do now is create a legacy, not just for them, but for your grandchildren, for your great grandchildren, for your great great, and sort of sell it in that way that, you know, that you can sort of a legacy for the generations and be this big I am, and this is what you're going to leave. And apparently, this is some of the conversations these guys have, because otherwise, as you say, it's illogical. Who the heck wants to go and live in Saudi Arabia? Well, you've already made more money than you can spend, Mitrovic. Why do you want to now go and live in Saudi Arabia when you're at the top of your game? Probably get snapped up by an absolute top European club, Alexander Mitrovic, wouldn't they?
Yeah, there's an hilarious bit in the Sky programme called Billions, which is obviously it's a little bit of a black comedy. And it's a great bit when there's a US banker has taken a redundancy package of $40 million. And he literally says, I'm done and dusted. I've walked. It's $40 million. And the other banker turns around and goes, $40 million? He goes, that's not going to last you, right? And he starts breaking it down in terms of suits, lunch bills, Ferraris, your two homes you're going to have, the kids are going to want school and stuff. And at the end of it, the guy that's got the $40 million turns around and goes, oh, my God, you're right. I'm skint. I need another job. And you can't help thinking.
It's all relative.
That's what Mo Salah's agent's having a chat with him now. Going, you've only got 40 mil in the bank, Mo.
You're not as rich as you thought you were, Mo. Exactly. Rethink. Brilliant.
Look at the cost of property down in London if you were just wanted to get your kids a flat.
Gone are the days where, do you remember McManaman and Fowler buying up entire streets in Liverpool? Yeah, that's probably what Salah's done, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, here you go. I've got a little... It's not a trivia one because it happened this week. Right. A manager got fired this week. I'm just trying to think of a good way to ask you about this. Manager got fired this week.
Eighth tier of England.
Oh, you've heard about it. I was sure you wouldn't have. It didn't. I can't believe you've seen that. All right, so I'll tell Alex.
Oh, by the way, ex-England manager.
Ex-England and Leicester City manager Peter Failure was this week released by eighth tier Maldon and Tiptree.
Yeah. Cannot believe, because he's about 70 as well. You can't believe what he would get out of a job like that, would you?
I can't believe what Maldon and Tiptree would get out of him doing that job. I'm perfectly honest with you, he'd be completely out of his depth.
Absolutely bizarre. The weird thing about Peter Taylor, I think it would be an interesting discussion, Tim, to talk about the worst ever manager at Leicester City who had been at the club for more than 6 months. Okay, because obviously there's Paulo Sousa, isn't there, and Martin Allen and various people that you thought terrible appointments. Okay, but actually, obviously, Taylor was here. But the interesting thing about Peter Taylor is, and if Peter, again, he's somebody else who's desperate to come on the show, he could sit here now and go, well, hang on a minute. I took over from Martin O'Neill, and just about a year after I took over from Martin O'Neill, didn't I get Leicester City to the top of the Premier League?
I was going to say, it was about three games into the season or something.
Yeah, well, it was a few more than that, actually. It was about this time of the season. But the thing is, it's an interesting one, isn't it? It was one of these at the time. I remember there was lots of people saying Peter Taylor was the person to take the reins after Martin O'Neill and push the team forward. Blimey, he ended up nearly bankrupting us.
I saw a picture of him in his Maldon and Tiptree coat with that still haunted look that he always had as something else went wrong again. Look, we've digressed tons. Better just get back to the last couple of things in the show. Double game week, of course.
Yep.
I'm going to say the unthinkable. I'm not that bothered about the League Cup.
I like it as well.
I'm just, for me this year, right, question, dilemma. We win the League Cup, but we don't go up.
Don't go up, miss out top six.
No, just don't go up. You can't clarify dilemmas, killer. You know that.
Yeah, okay. I like that. No, I'll have to take go back up.
Yeah.
Because I think financially it'll be absolutely disastrous for us.
That's why I'm not that bothered.
Back in Europe, whilst playing Championship football. Hang on a minute, because I changed my mind.
So, it'd be embarrassing to lose. I'm intrigued by the team because I think, you know, he's Yeah, this comes before, where are we? Yeah, it comes before deadline day, doesn't it? So he's still going to have to anyone who's maybe on the way out. That might be quite interesting if he plays a reserve team, but not obvious players like...
I don't think so. I think he'll go pretty strong. I think there'll be a number of players like... Cassaday's obviously certain to start. I think Atgun might get a start as well. I think Marcel will probably get a start. I wouldn't be surprised if Jamie Vardy gets a start, Mark Albrighton. I think it'll be strong, Tim. And I think the reason for that, Hamza Chowdhury, I think he will be looking at that bench and he will want that bench to have game time. So expect something similar to what we saw against Burton, I think.
Yeah, I'd be disappointed with that, but I think you're probably right. I would put in a full reserve team and give the players a rest. They're going to need it this season. But I think you probably are right. Then we come on to, it's not quite, well, it's the start of September. So it is Hull at home.
Yep.
They have started pretty well. I would expect Leicester City to beat Hull City at home. And it's not the match I had my eye on throughout September, because it's all the other matches in September I had my eye on. Yeah. But nevertheless, this is going to be a little step up in quality, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And again, it's one of these where everybody's going to wait for us to crack. And I think as far as the chasing pack's concerned...
Another egg joke there, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And again, I'm just poaching them as we go along. And but yeah, you just said that at this stage, it's probably going to go the way of all the other games, isn't it?
I guess so. Yeah. I mean, it seems this scoring late habit is becoming a function of the possession that we're having. So I would assume we'll have tons and tons of possession again. They've had a slightly tricky start and they've done quite well. So it'll be quite interesting. I'm sure they'll be coming for a point. So perhaps be a case of whether we can break a team like that down. Be interesting to see if the winger does start, as you're suggesting, against Tranmere, whether he gets a go against Hull as well. But I suspect he might be on the bench, given that our wingers have done quite well so far, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
And then other than that, much the same. But mate, I'm going to suggest Cassaday instead of Ndidi.
Yeah, I would definitely go with that. But I think he's going to give Cassaday a full run tomorrow night, on Tuesday night. I think he's definitely the future for the season. At any rate, I think he's just obviously just bedding him in. I suspect what's happened is, I suspect the sports physio guys have probably said he's not quite got a game in him yet. So, but I suspect he'll probably start Tuesday and they will give him 65, 70 minutes. And then comes to the weekend, could be a toss-up. Of course, Wilf might not even be at the club at the weekend, which is bizarre even to say it.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, on to the excellent predictor with Trump Wales IPA. Last week, I bet you haven't noticed this, Killer, I got the result bang on.
I did notice. Yeah, I was furious. I was messaging Norm.
You and Norm called it right as well. So me on 6 points, you two on four. Going into Hull City, Norm continues with his predictions that no team can possibly score against us. Norm's gone 3-0.
3-0. Well, I would definitely take that, but I don't think it'll be 3-0. I'm going to stick to 2-1.
2-1. I'm going to go meet you in the middle. I'm going to go 3-1. Looking for a good attacking display. Final thoughts?
Just pretty much more of the same, really. Let's not forget. I can't help thinking that this has been a podcast tinged with a little bit of negativity, tinged with a little bit of uncertainty. And we just don't want to give that impression to our listeners, because we are massively, massively upbeat about a quite sensational start of the season. So a message to Leicester City: if you never get out of second gear, but you win every game by a goal, go for it, boys.
That will do nicely. And on that note, we're all off to find some more egg jokes to crack you up. See you next week. Thanks for listening, everyone. If you enjoyed the Leicester City Pubcast, please subscribe and tell everyone about it. If you hated the Leicester City Pubcast, please keep it to yourselves. See you next week.